tonight that you didn't get a chance to?
It could be about the ladies' conference, but it could also be about something just the blessing of what God has done in your life this week. Anybody in that realm would like to share? Is Jeremiah? Dad comes home on Friday. All right. Huh? Oh, to whip y'all into shape. Yeah, that's what dads do. Amen. All right. I'll whip y'all into shape. Well, anyone else? Tony, how's school going? Tell you what, Kimmy, you girls are just grown up, graduating college, doing all that stuff. Miss White and I are getting younger. She celebrated her 21st birthday, and I'm only a year older than her. Amen. Y'all catch that? Amen. All right. Well, what we've been talking about here is, again, some things that I felt like was just, I forgot my notes, so y'all have to bear with me. Amen. Is to give you another challenge here tonight from the Word of God. As to some things that I thought that were pertinent that we would talk about, the blessings, or talk about things that are actually missing in the churches today. And we went through quite a bit of the book of Acts, just looking at some things that the book of Acts has shown us that was going on in the church there, and how they, as a church, they continue to do some things that I believe that we should look at and be a challenge to us about how we can be an effective church, and even in our day, because the things that we talked about, I believe, are missing in our churches today. We talked about the things about prayer, and I believe that that's one of the things that we don't do enough of. If we be honest with ourselves in our own lives, we don't pray as much as we ought to, but they were a church of prayer, and we went through there. We talked about the verse that says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we, as righteous people in the house of God and people of God, we should be praying for one another. Last week, we talked about the power that we have within us, that we don't sometimes tap that source the way that we ought to, that would help us carry out the things that God would have us to do the things that we need to do, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. God has given us that, and we need to use that. And a lot of times we saw in the book of Acts how the power of God was upon their lives, and they were able to do things. I think about the verse that always says, if we have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, we can move mountains if that was what God would have us to do, and it would be in his will. And when I think about it, we talked about two things that we wanted to hang our hats on, and that was one of the things I believe that keeps us from exercising or believing in the power of God, and that was fear, because we fear the things that we're faced with, and we don't have the faith to trust God the way that we ought to with the things that we are facing when it comes to the power of God that's within us. From the day that we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God that's indwelling us, and it gives us the power that we need to live the Christian life. And you think about it again. God has never called us to do anything that he has not enabled us to be able to do it. He's given us an enablement by his Holy Spirit. We looked at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So if we're going to be witnesses the way that God would have us to do, when we looked at the book of Acts, we got to have the power of God upon our lives. And we looked at quite a few things about this power that we have. And he's enabled them. And we saw how they prayed. We saw how they waited for that power. They prayed for that power. But I want to talk to you tonight about another area that I believe that's missing. And that is the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. Why is it so important for us to hear preaching? Why do you think it's so important for us to hear preaching? Jeremiah?
It shows us how to apply God's word.
It shows us how to apply God's word. What else does it do? Does it do? Does Andrea?
Well, I don't know if this is actually an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes from a man that's been praying to receive, to be able to rightly
divide the word of truth.
Uh-huh. As opposed to
Right.
When they really do that seeking.
Right. And it's not. And that's why it's so important that we be under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. One thing that I think about what Andrea just said that preaching does, preaching confirms to you what you're reading and getting out of the Word of God that you're getting the right truth that's there. The preacher is to be somebody that God is called to proclaim, to be like a hurdle that went around and proclaiming the truth in such a way it draws your attention to it and it convicts you. It convinces you, these are my thoughts, of some truths that you need to get a hold of. It can be a reminder to you of things that you have a great idea of some things you ought to do, but preaching reminds you of things that you don't do. How many of y'all went to the ladies' conference this Saturday? Now, she might not have been so much as a preacher, but think about how many things that were brought up to you that are so practical, but yet it's so informative that you got convicted about how you were living your Christian life. And that's what preaching does. That, and the preacher is to proclaim the truth. And it's amazing to me when we think about it. We'll look at four things, I hope, tonight when we're talking about preaching, because if I don't get started, we won't get finished. Amen. One thing about preaching. Preaching is something that God has ordained. He's called men to be preachers. And I want you to think about your preacher, your pastor, whether it be Pastor Dawson, especially because he's our pastor. You realize he's a gift from God. And God has equipped him to be the pastor of this church, and God has enabled me or allowed me to be the assistant pastor to pastor. I want us to think about it tonight. I want you to turn, if you would, in your books. We won't go back to the book of, we're going to go back to the book of Acts, but I want you to turn over to Acts chapter number, not Acts, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want you to think about, I'm going to talk about three things we're going to see here. First of all, the prompting that's involved in preaching. The plan that's involved in preaching, the promise that's involved in preaching, and preaching that is involved, but the predictions that is involved in preaching. I don't know if we're going to cover all five of these, but I want to look at some areas that will be a help to you. One of the verses that come to mind, and there's a lot of verses that we could look at tonight, but for the sake of time, or just for this study tonight, I'm going to try to condense it, but I want you to think about 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and verse number 18. Notice what it says here. It says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So you notice, you think about here, and this verse here, the Bible calls preaching foolishness to them. But you know, the Bible also tells us that God considered the foolishness of preaching is something that God has ordained. He wants it to happen. He approves of it. Because that's what God wants us to do as pastors and preachers. He wants us to proclaim it's true. And it's the foolishness of preaching that God has ordained and that God approves of. And why do we call it foolishness? It's foolishness to those. Notice what it says. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. In other words, those that do not believe in the Bible, that do not believe that there's a God. It's foolishness to them when you think about what preaching does. Think about what the Word of God says. So we see today a society that we live in, nobody wants to hear preaching. They don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to be under preaching. They don't want to hear preaching. And they think because you go to church that there's something wrong with you, that you want to go somewhere where somebody stands up hollering and screaming at you, which some of us do. Amen? Right? And then there are those that have got different personalities. They do it in a different way, but they're proclaiming the truth. And when we hear preaching, notice what else it does. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God to be under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, because it will give you and allow your faith to grow. I think about it today as we're going to go into our missions conference here next week. Amen. In about 2 weeks, we'll have our missions conference. Your faith ought to have increased from last year. How? Because of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Dr. Baldwin is going to come here, and Pastor is going to be preaching on. I'm going to be preaching on it on Sunday. We're going to be talking about faith, promise, giving. But your faith ought to increase from where it was last year, so that this goal that we want to set for next year, coming up for missions giving, we ought to be able to reach this goal, but we ought to be able to exceed this goal because of our faith has increased. And the Word of God is what God uses to increase our faith.
when we hear the word of God, our faith is increased. And notice what it says. Preaching of the cross is foolishness to them. In other words, the world thinks that they are wise. Amen. The world thinks it very wise, and God considers their understanding or their wisdom, he thinks it to be stupid. And now, that's not a good word to use, but really it is. Because most people would tell you, let's just use this for an example. Could you ever explain what grace really is? You could explain it to maybe another Christian, but a lot of unsaved people would never understand the grace of God till they have received the grace of God. You have received the grace of God, which we say by acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. You understand that Christ died for your sin. You understand that he paid for your sin. You understand that he rose from the grave. You understand all that because you are a Christian, but the unsaved person would think you're crazy. Why would somebody, first thing they tell you, why would somebody die for me? Because they don't believe it to be true. And they consider it foolishness. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Most people would tell you, I don't believe you need to go to church all the time. But the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's Bible. And that's what you're going to hear it preached about. You're going to hear it talked about because that's what preaching does. So it's cruel. And it's talking about really here that people will mock the word of God and mock the things that you do. The cruelty or the cruelness of the world's wisdom is that it does not know God. And that's what the curse of this world's knowledge is, that it leaves out God. And that's what makes it foolish to make it not wise for us to follow worldly philosophy, because it doesn't line up with the word of God as a Christian. They don't understand why we want to follow this book, and you don't understand why they don't want to follow the book now that you're saved, because you find that what they're doing, it doesn't make any sense at all. Why would I want to go out and get drunk and hang out and you do the things that I used to do? You realize how foolish that really is now that you're a Christian. And the world thinks of us being something wrong with us because we do that. And I think about in Acts chapter 5 in verse 42, it says this, and daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. We could go back to the book of Acts and we could follow again through how they went through and how the preaching of the word of God affected them and how it changed people's lives. You think about when Peter stood up and 3,000 got saved. Why do you think they got saved? Because Peter preached on repentance. He talked about you need to repent. That generation of stiff-necked people, the same Christ that you crucified is the one that died for you. And when they heard that preaching that Peter did, people got saved because of the preaching that went on. When you got saved, did you get convicted by the word of God before somebody took the Bible and showed you how to get saved? You didn't get convicted by the word of God that you needed to be saved? Oh, yes. Most of us did. When I think about when I got saved, I heard Pastor Kraft, and y'all hear my testimony, I heard Pastor Kraft preach, and he was preaching. And I tell you what, I don't know everything else he said. Probably I couldn't tell you what he said those days. But one thing I can tell you that he said, when he got to the end of it, if you die today, you know for sure you're going to go to heaven. I knew that to be true because it lined up with everything else that he preached and that he taught about. It was convicting me, and it was the word of God that he was preaching that brought to my mind something that was missing in my life, and I needed to be saved. And if I had not heard that kind of preaching, I don't believe today I would be saved, because I went to church all of my life up to that point, and I heard what they call preaching, but nobody ever preached it with such clarity that I was convicted and I realized that I needed to be saved. And that's the difference between good preaching and somebody just getting up there just making a mockery of the word of God, and because it doesn't always happen. But here, notice that. That's what's so cruel about the mocking what people do today when it comes to the word of God. I want you to notice what we say preaching is such a tremendous thing. Look at verse number 21. He says, for after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the what? By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God approves, and it pleased God for the foolishness of preaching. What the world considers to be something abnormal, the foolishness of preaching is what God approves of. He loves it. He wants it to be done that way, and he's ordained those to be preachers. And notice what it says, And it pleased God because of the wisdom that you find in the Word of God is wiser than this wisdom that we find in the world. Because it leaves out God, but the preaching of the gospel does not leave out God. The preaching of the gospel points us to God. So we see here what God's plan is for the Word of God, the preaching, to be something that needs to be done from the Word of God. So we see that happening here. And we could look at this area here just a little bit more, but we won't for the sake of time. But as he talks about how foolish and unwise they are, you think about the things that the world considers to be right. When we can't get our way, the world's idea is to pass a law to cover up our sin. So we can continue to do what we want to do, which is sin. And it's against God when you line it up with the Word of God. It is not God's will for us to have the same-sex bathroom or one gigantic bathroom where everybody go to. That's contrary to the Word of God. And most of us as parents or ladies, you don't want to go to the bathroom and men are standing in the bathroom. You don't know what they're thinking. Amen? You're probably getting to the point there. You're not even sure you want to go in the bathroom where women are going in there now publicly because you don't know what they're thinking. Amen? So what we do, we pass a law because that's man's wisdom. It leaves out what God would have us to do. And that's what makes it foolishness, because the preaching of the Word of God wouldn't allow us to do this. So the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25. Look at what it says there. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Because of the foolishness of preaching, it makes so much more sense to us than it ever did. And that's why it's so important for us to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to make sure that we're under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, because that's what's going to make a difference in our lives. So we see it is the prompting here that's involved that we see in 1 Corinthians. I want us to notice the plan. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, let's turn over there, and we're going to see what I believe here when we think about the Word of God, see what the plan is for God's Word. Notice what it says. Now, we could break it down in a whole lot of areas, but I want to try to condense it to where we see the importance of it, the plan of God, the plan that's involved. Notice what verse 6 says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Y'all there? Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Everybody there? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In other words, we need to get saved, first of all, and that's what that scripture is telling us that we ought to do. We ought to seek him while he may be found, because there may be one day that come in the life of a person that's not saved. You may not have that opportunity to do it. So we need to seek him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Because if the person comes wanting to get saved, God is going to extend his mercy to them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If you seek salvation, he will pardon you and forgive you for your sins. For my thoughts, this is what makes it so, this God is God's plan for you to seek him. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, then your thoughts. We can't even begin to measure how vast of a difference or space or time or distance that our thoughts are different from God. His thoughts are way higher than ours. And ours is just lowly, meekly, immoral, and a lot of times practical, but it doesn't make sense when it really lines up to the Word of God. And his thoughts are way above ours. We can't even fathom God's thought, because if you think about it today, as we said already, how many of you would ever give up your only son to come and die for a sinful world who does not even love God, who does not even want to have anything to do with God? Because the Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commended his love towards us, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The world can't even comprehend that. And you and I understand it a little bit more because we're saved. If you're here tonight and you know Christ is your Savior, you understand that a little bit more. But you didn't always understand that. How that one man's sin or disobedience, sin entered into the world. and death by sin. And that death separated us from God and put a place for hell for all eternity. So our thoughts are way far high. His thoughts are way far higher than ours. But this is what I like, Mrs. Hall, because I'm their country boy. Amen. Look at verse number 10. He says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And notice what he said. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. In other words, whatever it is that God wants done according to his word, according to the will of God, it's going to be done, because he's telling me and he's telling you, because what he says has so much wisdom, it has so much power, wherever it goes, it's going to accomplish that which God pleases. I think about my salvation. I was born in North Carolina. I had to go all the way to Terre Haute, Spain. This same word that I heard in Harrisville or Hoskett, North Carolina, is the same words that I heard there. It took me going to Terre Haute, Spain to hear the word of God, because he allowed his word to be there to be preached by Gary Kraft, Pastor Gary Kraft. Teresa and I to hear it, and we got saved. I think about Miss Hall, her husband. We lived about 20 miles from each other. Derek and I live about 20 miles from each other, didn't know each other, but to come all the way here to Tucson, Arizona, to share the gospel with him, and he gets saved. That's what God said. His word is never going to return to him void. And that's why he tells us to preach it, to proclaim it. He tells us to be under the sound of it, because that is what is going to make a difference in your life. It's not going to be this world's philosophy that's going to give you the answer to life. It's going to be the word of God that's going to give you the answer to whatever trouble, whatever problem, whatever issue that you're going through. You can find the answer to it in the word of God, because he's already promised us it's not going to return to him void. It's going to accomplish that where he pleased. And wherever he sends it, it's going to accomplish that. It's going to prosper wherever God's words go. And I think that is God's plan for his word, as we see here. I like it. As the rain comes down and it's watereth, and the water or the process of what it does, it rejuvenates or germinate a seed that it would bring forth. Whatever that seed is that you plant, it's going to bring forth the fruit, because the word of God does do the same thing. It'll do the same thing. It'll prosper in your life. So we see here the prompting, but we also see the plan. Amen. And it is God's plan. And we see the promise that's found in verses 8 and 10. He says, he tells us there's a promise there. But notice, not only that we see the prompting, we see the plan, but we see the problems that are involved here. God has promised us that his word will never return unto him void. And that's the promise that we have. Whatever it is that you have need of, God has already provided for us in his word. He's already provided for us. And he's promised us that it's going to be productive in our life. I think about it. If it had not been, and I, Miss White and I, we joke about it, and probably some of y'all will say the same thing. If it had not been, I don't believe I have gotten saved, I don't believe that Miss White and I would probably still be together. Because I believe it's because we both got saved at the same time. We're serving God to the best that we can. It has made a difference in our marriage. It has made a difference in our children. It has made a difference in this church. Because I got saved, God has given me opportunity to lead other people to the Lord that are here in this church. Because if I had not, I wouldn't have the fruit that abounds to my life because of what Christ has done in my life. And you see how it works? Because if you really be honest, you wouldn't be where you are today if it was not for the grace of God and being of the sound of the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Why y'all here tonight anyway? I know y'all came to hear me preach because y'all know I was preaching, right? So why do you come to church? You come because the word of God tells you that you ought to be here to hear it. Amen? And you want to obey God. He says the foolishness of preaching, what? It pleases God. So if it pleases God, I need to hear it. And I need to be under the sound and the preaching of it. Because that's what the word of God does in the life of a person and a believer. So this is the prompting that we see that we find in 1 Corinthians. We see the plan that was involved. We see the promises that were involved here in Isaiah. But I want us to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Of those of you that probably weren't there, you ladies, y'all weren't there. But I tell you what, Pastor preached a good challenge to us Saturday from Second Timothy. Amen, Brother Ken? And talking about the preaching of the Word of God, the promises, but the preaching that's involved here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Let's read that, because here I believe not only we see the prompting, we see the plan that was involved, we see the promises, but the preaching that is involved. What does it do? Why was Paul telling Timothy to preach the word? I think it's very clear. Timothy preached the word. Because it's preaching that people need to hear. He says, I charge thee therefore, in verse 1, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge you, or judge the quick and the dead, and at his appearing, and his kingdom. Preach the word. In other words, Timothy, you may be timid. There may be those that they're going to look at you because you were a young man. But he says, you know what I want you to do? Preach the word. Because you know what they need to hear? They need to hear the preaching of the word of God. That's what's going to make a difference in their lives. And we can have all this philosophy. We can have all these thoughts. We can be around people that got all of these ideas about how we're going to make our society better. I was sitting there watching the basketball game last night, and they were talking about what we need to do in our communities that are going to make people better. You know what? I tell the guys at work that I'm talking to, you know what's going to make a difference in the world and the people's lives? It ain't the gun laws. It ain't getting out there because I'm black and I'm going to kneel down, or they ain't going to stand up for the national anthem, or we need to do this, or we need to have our athletes saying this, we need to have our president doing this. But you know what's going to change people's lives? It's going to be the preaching of God's word. This is what's going to change people's lives. You know what? You know where it begins? It begins in the heart of man. You can talk all you want to about changing laws and making laws and getting out there doing all these things to try to make our society better. But the only thing that's going to change our society is a change of heart. And that changing of the heart has to be the word of God and the spirit of God taking the word of God, convicting that person of the change that needs to take place in their life, and allow God to come in and be in control of your life. That's what's going to change society. It's not going to be this philosophy that we can have. Michael Jordan, you could take Michael Jordan, you could take Curry, you could take Aaron Rodgers, he ain't doing much over in football, no how, right? I'm just kidding. Aaron Rodgers, you can take Kobe Bryant, you could take Cam Newton. Those guys could get up and talk till they turn blue or darker black, and it's not going to make a difference in this world. It's going to be this right here. It's going to be this book. That's the only thing that's going to change lives. And you can say, well, Pastor, you could preach it, but it ain't going to change lives. But you know what it does? It changed your life. It changed your life. It changed my life. And you may have to do it one at a time, because that's what it takes. You may not change the world, but I guarantee you, y'all heard that witness or that statement about the man that was walking along the seashore, and he saw the starfish, and he saw that they had all these starfish had washed up on the water. Y'all ever heard that illustration before? And he's walking along, and he was throwing them back into the water. And this guy walked along and said, so why are you doing that? You can't save them all. He said, but that one that I threw back in there, he probably glad I threw him back in there, because he'll still live. And that same person that you shared the gospel with, I'm indebted to Pastor Kraft for all eternity, because he thought enough of my lost soul that he came and knocked on the door, invited me to church, and I got saved. One person at a time. And that's what God wants us to do. He ain't asking us to change the world. He's asking us to change one at a time, because that'll make a difference in our society. That'll make a difference in that person's life, because that person will be indebted to you for life. I may not change the world, but I can change one at a time. And that's what preaching is going to do. So Paul says here, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, Timothy, there isn't a season that you ought not preach the word of God. There's not a time that you ought not preach the word of God. So he's telling him here that preaching needs to be done. He says, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. In other words, you need to reprove them. You need to correct them. You need to rebuke them when they're not right. Exalt them when they do. Have long suffering and patience with them. But you need to do it with good sound doctrine, because that's what's going to make a difference in their life. Did y'all know why pastors having this class next door? Do you understand why he's having it? Brianna? You understand why he's having it? You, Miss Hall? You think so? Because you know what he's doing? Just trying to teach them some basic doctrine. It's amazing to me how a lot of people get saved and they don't know why they believe what they believe. You have people that come here to Shining Light Baptist Church and to join the church and have no idea that we King James only. We believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We believe in the blood atonement for sin. We believe in preaching the gospel. We don't get up here fabricating all of these other things because we're going to stand on the truth. And they need to know that doctrine is what's going to change people's lives. You can preach the word of God and give stories, but the word of God is what convicts people's lives. Because I believe that God loves and he's approved of the foolishness of preaching. And he says he does. And Paul is challenging Timothy because they need to hear it. Because one of the things that's going to happen that's going to be sad, he says, look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe that time is here. And that's why I say one of the things that's missing in our society today is there is not, in a lot of churches, there's no preaching really going on. Because preaching convicts people. Preaching makes people uncomfortable. But that's what it's intended to do. That's why he's telling Timothy to preach the word. He says to exhort. He says to reprove. He says to rebuke. He says to exhort. He says to do with all long suffering and patience, because that's what we need to hear. That's what you need to hear. That's why you're here tonight. Not because God just says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, which is in the Bible, but you're here to be reproved. You're here to be rebuked, because there's some things that you need to do in your life, and we need to constantly be reminded of we're sinners only saved by the grace of God, and we need to hear the word of God, and that's why preaching is so important. He says, for the time will come. This is the prediction that's here. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why you see all of these mega churches that are prompting up today. They are filled and running over with people that want to go there because of the philosophy that's being taught there, prosperity gospel. How you need to be rich, and you're not rich. You're not like Clef O'Dollar. You're not like, Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes and all of these people. I was telling the pastor the other day, I was looking at, you look those guys' name up. Some of those guys are making anywhere, and I'm not saying that God couldn't bless in your life. That's not what I'm saying, because he could if he chooses to. But what are you doing to fabricate it? That lifestyle where you got a pastor that's worth over $20 million. One of them over $40 million. $8 million, $10 million. They worth that kind of money. Got their own jet, wearing jewelry, got their own pathway. One of the pastors got a mega church in Atlanta, I believe it is, in Atlanta or in California. He got a church that's so large, he got his own road that takes him from the church to the house. From the church to his house. He done built his own road. He got planes. And I'm not saying that God can't bless. That's not what I'm saying. But when you stand in before people and tell them that they're not blessed because they don't have what you have, that's not what the gospel teaches. That's not what the gospel is telling me. How many people are getting saved? How many people you see that are genuinely walking the aisle and their lives are being changed because of the preaching that goes on in the mega churches? And I'm not saying that they're not people that are not saved. But I don't believe that they're doing it the way that God would approve of it. Because if you're in a position where you can share the gospel and make a difference in a person's life, and people are getting saved for the glory of God, I believe you see some changes taking place in our society. But it's like that pyramid teaching that goes on. If I make money, I'm going to make money off of you. And you go out and get somebody else to come in and you make money, then I'm going to make money off of you and that person that you're making money off. And most of those people that are going to those churches are not just the run-of-the-mill person. You're probably not going to find them people here across the street going to Clef O'Dollar or going to Joel Osteen's church. You know you got to buy a ticket to go to Joel Osteen's church? Didn't know that, did you?
No.
Yeah, you got to buy a ticket to go there. I found that out just a couple of weeks ago that I didn't know it either. But that's how his church has grown. So just the common everyday folk, you can't go there. Is that really of God? It ought to be open to every. He said, let all of us come. Because God wished that all that would be saved and all that would come to repentance. Let me move on. Because the preaching that was robbed, the prediction here is that there are going to be times that they don't want to hear. because they want to reject the truth, because if it don't make me feel good, then I don't want to go there and hear somebody telling me something that is not going to make me feel good about myself. So they want to reject it, the word of God. But it's going to be to their ruin. Look at verse number 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And Timothy, in other words, what I want you to do is to keep preaching the word of God. Preach the truth. It's going to make a difference, because that's what it's going to take in Timothy day, and that's what it's going to take in our day. It's going to take the preaching of the word of God. And that's why we need to be in the house of God. We need to be in a church that's preaching the truth. I'm going to share this tonight. One of the keys to a church, if you ever look for one and had to go choose one, we've had to do it a couple of times because of the military, we moved. If you go in a church, they ought to be soul winning. They ought to be tithing. And because I believe you ought to see people walking the aisle, making professions. You ought to see people under conviction. You ought to go in the church and you ought to be brought under conviction. If you go into the church and he's supposed to be preaching, or that person, a man of God, is preaching the word of God, you ought to be convicted about something in your life. If you're not, then that is not a place to be. You want to be under the sound of some preaching and teaching that brings some conviction in your life, because God has approved of it. He has ordained it. And that's what he wants done, because the word of God is wiser than any wisdom that you could ever get. And we need to be where we can hear it as much as we can, as often as we can, because that's what's going to make a difference in your life. I didn't know how I should treat my wife until I got saved and start going to church. And the pastor took the Bible and showed me how I ought to be a good husband, ought to be a good father, and ought to be a good Christian. I didn't get it from a book that I got down at the bookstore. I learned that in church, because somebody was rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you really know how to be a good mom? And I know mothers got instincts that are far beyond us as men when it comes to raising your kids. But did you learn the truths that you really, of how to be a good mother, and why you ought to be a good mother, or why you ought to be a good daughter to your mom, or why you ought to be a good mother to your kids, or Jeremiah, how you ought to be a good child in your home, learning responsibility, because that's where it begins. And that's what God approves of. And that's why preaching is so important, because today in society, people are turning away from the word of God. They don't want to hear preaching, because if it's not making me feel good about my lifestyle and how I'm living, then I don't want to be somewhere where that kind of stuff is going on. I want to be somewhere where they make me feel good about it. It's okay. Nobody's going to be concerned about me if I don't show up at church. You ought to be glad. You ought to thank God that you got a pastor that cares about when you're not here, that'll come and visit you when the baby's born, or when you're having some problems, that'll help you with things in your life. Because that's what a pastor does. That's what a preacher. Joel Osteen ain't going to come to your house. I guarantee you won't, because he ain't going to have time. He don't just deal with just the common folk. He might send somebody else, but he ain't going to come. And that's the difference. And you say, well, you beating up them preachers. But you know what? I believe that there's some things you ought to see in a person's life, because we need a pastor who has a family, who's a good preacher, but also he's a good husband, and he's a good father, he's a good leader, and he's a good example. Not just the pastor, but the other laymen that are under him, laboring to help him to carry out the work. It's not for him to do it by himself, but we need to be good examples, and it's going to come because we're under the preaching and teaching of the word of God, because that's what's going to make a difference in your life. Amen. So we see here the prompting, the plan, the prompting, the promise, the preaching, and the prediction, because they're going to reject it, but the ruin is going to be they turn away from the truth. They don't want to hear it. And that's what's happening in our society today. And I believe preaching is one of the things that needs to be done in our society and in the churches today. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. And ladies should be meeting up with Mrs. Dawson here in just a minute. I'm 4 minutes past, but amen. Y'all forgive me for that. Amen. All right. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, I thank you for this opportunity that we had here in these last few weeks, Lord, to just share some truths that you impressed upon my heart to share with your people about things that are going on in our churches today, and how we're failing because we're failing in the area of prayer.
We are failing in the area of the power of God working in our lives by being submissive to it. And also the preaching that's going on is failing our society because we don't want to hear it. And even Christians today don't want to be in the house of God the way that they ought to, because that's what makes a difference in our lives. And I pray tonight, Lord, that the challenge that is before us will be a blessing to us, because we need it. I need to hear it. And I pray that those that are under the sound of my voice as well. Bless now as we break down into our prayer groups and prayer time. Ms. Dawson, as she comes to pray with the ladies and goes over some things for the upcoming events. And we just be careful now to praise you. Thank you for all that you've done, for what you're going to do. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right. Is that preaching? Brother Ken, you'll pray with me? I hope all y'all do have a prayer list. Let's be praying over the things that are there. As the ladies pray up front here, Mr. Ken Duffy and I and Jeremiah, we might have another partner come in here and pray with you, another person. You need it?
Oh, I do.
I take it over there for you. Hey, Miss Shana. All right. All right, bro. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
We'll go back here and break them down in some prayer groups. Oh, I'll turn it on.